Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, my name is Barbara Hofmeister and I am your host for today's show. To be or not to be, the choice is yours. And that is exactly what we're going to talk about in the next 30 minutes. About the choices that people take in their lives, the consequences that come out of having made those choices. You're going to hear from really interesting people that sometimes have made wrong choices and were able to correct them. You will hear very, very inspiring stories, how people overcame their challenges and how people started to live their dream, to live the life that they truly choose to live, the life that they've always wanted to live. So get ready for an exciting 29 minutes from today's To Be show. Hi everybody, this is Barbara Hofmeister speaking, your host for today's To Be show. And be ready for an exciting show because today we have a very special guest and his name is Johnny Tan. And Johnny wants to talk about his mums and he wants to talk about cooking. Well, actually, I don't think it's so much about cooking food. It's more about food for the soul and recipes for good living. So I'm really looking forward to this interview, to our talk with Johnny Tan. Johnny, are you there?
Yes. Good morning, Barbara. How are you?
Evening where I am. Yes, good morning, Johnny. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you so much for having me on the air with you this morning. I presume it's morning or afternoon. I'm not really sure. I know it's 12 noon my time, so in Dallas. But I mean, thank you so much for this opportunity for sharing my story from my mama's kitchen to you and your listeners.
I'm very happy to have you because I'm really excited. When you sent me your information, you said, like a pot of famous Louisiana gumbo, Johnny Tan's life has been richly savored. So I want to know, what is Louisiana gumbo, first of all?
It's a beautiful, very delicious dish. It's Louisiana gumbo is made up of, usually people have the base of, you know, sausage, chicken or turkey or seafood. And you have rice. It's actually it's a soup, and then you eat it with rice, or you can eat it by itself. So, for lack of a better term, in the sense that the gumbo is something that you have a little bit of everything in it and cook to perfection.
Excellent. I have to go to Louisiana and taste it.
It's very delicious, and if you happen to catch wherever you're at, if you happen to catch a Cajun restaurant, you need to try some gumbo. Of course, some may do it better than others, but needless to say, the gumbo is uniquely a Louisiana dish because it has everything in it, all the different, you know, in a way it's sort of like leftovers here and there, a little chicken, a little sausage, a little of everything, and it's put together and cooked into a wonderful soup.
Well, I shall try that. Next time I'm in the state, I will look for a special restaurant for that. So, Johnny, you began recording, actually. You recorded your book, right? But then it was transcribed, or you recorded it just to have memories of things, and then you wrote it?
I started recording in the sense of writing in a journal, so to speak, because what happened is I wanted to write a cookbook. My mom came to see me in 1999 in one of her many trips, and at that time she was 71 years old, and then I realized that she was getting old and her traveling days might be numbered coming from Malaysia to visit me here in the United States. And so I was, you know, typical guy thing, being selfish, wanting to put together a cookbook, you know, where, you know, I need to start saving all my favorite food recipes, so to speak. And in the course of doing that, I realized that, you know, hey, I've known over the years other women here in the United States that I've met. They're wonderful ladies that helped me along the way in many different things that I've encountered in life. And I like some of their recipes, too. And so I pitched the idea to them, you know, do you mind me writing, taking some of your food recipes and putting in my cookbook? And I said, of course, no, no problem at all. Go ahead and do it. And it went on for another 7 years because I could not get it off the ground because for some reason or another, it wasn't quite right. Finally, my 90-year-old mom, Italian foster mom in Poplar Bluff, Missouri, called me up in January of 2007 and said, Johnny, are you going to finish this cookbook of yours before I die? I mean, no pressure, right? So I said, yes, obviously. I said, you know, I am definitely going to do it. And by the way, she's still alive. She's 93 this year. So,
and, excellent.
So I decided to sit down in April of that year and start meditating every night for a couple hours and start writing. I was asking for guidance, you know, how to do this. And then I realized mm-hmm. that had I actually wrote the a cookbook just by itself, I would not have included all my moms in the book. I realized that what tied me all together with all these moms were actually the unconditional motherly love that they have given me and shown me over the years that I've known them in different times of my life as I met them all throughout my life, you know, being here in the United States. And so that, to me, was a greater story needed to be told than my selfishness of collecting food recipes, so to speak. And so I was spiritually driven to write the book from my mama's kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living, and I finished it in 9 months.
Well, that's fast. It took me about 4 years to finish mine. So that's quite fast. But, of course, you meditated on it for several years before you actually got down to it, right?
Yeah, yeah. It was one of those things where I didn't know where to begin because I knew what I was going to do. I was going to assign each chapter to each mom. There was a disconnect if I were to do that. And so having said that, all of a sudden right now, I realize that what is the common denominator that had brought all of us together in the course of the years, and then, my Malaysian mom had met all the other women, too, in the United States at different times when she came here. And so then I realized that, you know, my mom is so thankful that all these women were in my life, helping me along the way, making a positive difference in my life, being with my teacher, my coach, my counselor along the way, my mentor, so to speak. And and so I realized that, you know, hey, you know, this is about motherly love. And the wonderful conversations that we all have together, have had together in the kitchen setting, because the kitchen gave us a backdrop to whereby we could sort of let our guard down, you know, in an informal way, I guess. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Nothing formal and casual, you know, and you can talk over meals. And meals is the connectivity with regards to human relations, so to speak.
That's very true. I notice, I mean, I've stayed with several American families and also, of course, here in Europe whenever I travel, and I've noticed that in many families today, people don't eat together anymore, you know.
That's
it's just, and I find that such a shame because in my family, I mean, I was not at home that much because I left home quite early and I always traveled, I was always abroad. But whenever I was at home, I mean, every meal was taken together, starting from breakfast. And I found that so valuable because it's time when you relax, you're enjoying your food, and you have time to speak without any pressure. It's not a certain setting, you know, you need to talk about something now. No, you were sitting together, you were enjoying yourself, and at the same time, you were sharing. And I find it, families that do not have meals together, I think, are losing a lot of connection, a lot of very precious moments. And, I mean, from what you're saying, you've had a similar experience. And also you find that it's important that you have meals together with your family and with the people that you love. And
definitely.
Yeah.
Well, because the first and foremost, the setting creates a unique situation to whereby you can, it's very relaxed. You can communicate because it's one thing to be in the same room and everybody is having their own thought process versus when you can have enjoy yourself over a meal and talk about family, talk about situation. It gives each other an opportunity to open up. And, of course, you can't just sort of jumpstart it, you know, at any given time. But if you grow up with it, then you find that it becomes a wonderful family affair, and that's that the word affair comes in, because That's where you learn about family genealogy, about so-and-so and so-and-so and everything else. So there's a lot of connections, so to speak. And it's never too late, in all actuality, to start this. Society have changed in some ways because of the various challenges and everything else. But if you can't do it once a day, obviously, you know, when I was growing up, we were eating basically, definitely for sure, two meals a day together as a family. But certainly nowadays, you know, the very least you can do at least maybe once a day, or perhaps at least once a weekend, maybe every Saturday and Sunday evening, that people have to sit down together and just eat together and enjoy each other's company, the family time, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's very important. I spent last Thanksgiving in the States, mm-hmm. and I stayed with friends, and all the family came together from other states also. It was really great. I enjoyed it thoroughly,
right.
because it was the first time that I met everybody all together in one sitting. And we had such a good time, you know, we went for walks, of course we had loads of meals. We played games together, you know, the adults with the children, and I really enjoyed that. I miss that. Since my parents have passed away, I miss that. You know, it's so important that you just spend time together, and it doesn't have to be a serious conversation. And somehow, even when you're playing games, you tend to learn something about the other person and
right.
share something
yeah.
about yourself also.
Right.
And stuff comes up that maybe normally you would not want to talk about. And
right.
that it's important that you talk about with the people that you love and that are important to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very much so. Well, it gives us an opportunity to really build on the synergy of togetherness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what it's needed, because that's the foundation to really, it's a platform that you can build upon from then on. And not only that, though, as parents, when you do that for your children, then you help them, because there's continuity there, because what they do is
mm-hmm.
that they, because these are, you know, one of my moms told me a long time ago is that when we're young, we learn. When we're old, we understand. And so when you go through that learning phase, everything is absorbed. How the interaction is all about, the creation of that family synergy is very, very important. And so as they get older, they are able to, and these are the things that are passed along from generation to generation, so to speak, that the sort of family traditions.
Mm-hmm. That's true. You're talking about your moms. I mean, normally people mm-hmm. have one mom. So tell us a little bit about your different moms.
Well, what's interesting is that, I mean, I was adopted at birth in Malaysia, and when I came here to the United States, I was here for about 15 years before I actually went home to Malaysia because of, the circumstance that my family was going through with, you know, financial difficulties, those kind of things,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, challenge and everything else, because my dad passed on a year after I got here to go to college. And then in the course of living here, I met wonderful women. When I first came here, I met my Southern Belle mom. She was the host family for me in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and a fascinating woman. She's very, very soft-spoken and has so much to teach me about life and living. And then that summer, I met my Italian foster mom in Poplar Bluff, Missouri, because I was invited to visit her family by her husband, whom I actually met while flying to the United States from Malaysia, while flying here to the United States to go to college. And so that was quite interesting. We just connected instantaneously because she enjoyed good food, good conversation, and I was showing her some of the Malaysian cooking, so to speak, so we got connected. And then
mm-hmm.
when I started working, I met three other moms. I met my sanguine Savannah mom in 1985 when on a business trip in Savannah, Georgia, and we just somehow just connected and, you know, feel very comfortable and started talking and kept in touch with each other. I met my Texan earthly mom in 1986 when I engaged her employment agency to recruit managers for my company that I was working for at that time. And she's a businesswoman, very pragmatic. She had so much to offer me in terms of mentoring, you know, and stuff like that. And then I met my late spiritual and progressive mom at a business meeting in Hammond, Louisiana. She, too, retired at that time, but she had so much to offer in terms of her spiritual base and everything else. It was just these women were coming into my life at the right time in my life to help me, so to speak. And then the final three moms, I met them during my social leisure time in ballroom dancing. I met my late ballroom instructor mom, who actually taught me ballroom dancing in 1996, and then my German mom in 1998 when we performed with our various instructors at a dance event. And then finally I met my Cajun mom actually on the dance floor, dancing with her the jitterbug at a ballroom dance in the year 2000 in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And that's how I met all these different women and how they played a role in my life, you know, in terms of coming in at the right time and helping me.
Excellent. Do you think it has something to do with your Asian background that you were drawn to older women? I mean, in a matter of that you wanted to learn from them, that you were attracted to them and they were attracted to you? Because I know that Asian people have a much higher respect for the older age and for mm-hmm. the, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. you believe in the wisdom of the older people. And I, as the older I get, the more I believe in that too. while here in Europe, normally, you know, the older people are more, you know, they're not important anymore, and I don't agree with that. And I notice that when I travel in Asia, that there is a totally different respect for the older generation.
Right, right. I'm sure that has a lot to do with it also, but I don't know whether it's just Asian per se. I think it's got a lot to do with how you were brought up in a way. And then mm-hmm. in my situation too, because what happened, you know, I left home when I was 18, halfway around the world, so to speak, and I think I've always been in search of real life, real situation, real facts, and so I gravitated to people that could offer me wonderful information. I want to make an informed decision, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So having someone give me something insightful to think about helps me. So yes, I gravitate towards, you know, the older people in terms of wanting to seeking their knowledge, seeking
mm-hmm.
their assistance, seeking their wisdom, so to speak. And then I myself, on the other hand, is kind of interesting because I was actually, I'm actually 6 years younger than my sister. But growing up, you know, my sister would be actually coming to me and asking me for advice, which is quite interesting. And so some people have said that, you know, maybe you have an old soul, maybe so. And so I, in combination of that and the fact that I value the fact that I don't want to make silly mistakes, so I would talk to these various individuals who have, you know, like my mom would say it this way. She puts it in a very interesting perspective. She said, no matter how much education you have, no matter how much wealth you have accumulated and everything else and how much money you have, I would have always tasted more salt of life than you have. And in short, that's wisdom, living wisdom. And no one can take that away from anyone.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. So for our young listeners, please take it to heart. Yeah, we have fallen down more often than you have. And we picked ourselves up again and learned the lessons, hopefully, from our mistakes and can pass them on. I think that's very important, that you pass on the wisdom, you pass on your learnings, mm-hmm. and so that, you know, who follows you doesn't have to make the same mistakes again.
Yeah, we go through the transition of, you know, in my book, and I talk about that, we all do. I mean, you, I, our moms and everyone else, when we're young, you know, somewhere along the line, when we hit puberty, we found enlightenment. We know it all. And then when we leave home around 18 or so, you know, to go to college or to work or whatever, then we realize we may not know it all. And then
mm-hmm.
finally around 30 or 30-something or so, then we realize that we don't know anything at all. And so, you know, so it's a cycle. It's amazing. And then you finally realize now, I mean, there are some people, on the other hand, may take years longer than that, you know, still wandering in the wilderness, so to speak. And then from a mom's perspective, This is a very interesting thing that I've learned from my various moms. I mean, certainly if not at inception, certainly at birth, the entire life changed because they now all of a sudden think the most important person in their life is the child. And for the next 18-plus years, they're going to try to be the best teacher that they can be to that child. And then some of them, you know, realize this, and then somewhere along the line, after 18 or so, they will try to become the best coach they can for you. And then finally, they'll be available as counselors for you. And that cycle matches our cycle of maturity. And that's the fascinating part about it in writing my book, because I come to realize this interesting cycle of the human factor. And then I went actually one step further. In all actuality, I talk about in the normal cycle of life, we will actually become our parents' parents at some point in our life. We will become their teacher, their coach, their counselor, so to speak. That's normal, and this is where ultimately, as a human being, we'll realize that, you know, we're all connected somehow. We live in a closed system.
We do, yeah, and we are all connected. Mm-hmm. Even so, many people feel they are disconnected and they feel a lot of guilt and a lot of fear, which I think is very, very unfortunate and can be changed. So if you're listening, please, it can be changed and it doesn't take that much to change it. So if you are living in fear and if you are living in this feeling that you're disconnected, that you are not part of the whole, you are. Definitely 100%, no matter what you're feeling right now. And if you need help, contact any of us, because we have gone through these experiences and we can help you and we can give you some advice on that and we can give you a helping hand on this kind of stuff. So who do you think would benefit especially from the wisdom from your book?
I believe everyone, that's a great question. The book, you know, falls in several different categories of, a nonfiction genre because it advocates championing motherly love, which is, in all essence, God's unconditional love. The various genre it falls in, it's inspirational, it's spiritual, it's a memoir, obviously, parenting, motivational, and self-help, because it has so much to offer everyone. It's designed actually as a keepsake, so it has a dedication page in the front, and then it has pages in the back, blank pages for you to write in your various recipes for living in all actuality. And I did the fact that I started out writing a recipe book about food. I did include 9 food recipes from my various moms in the back of the book. But in a nutshell, basically, it will inspire everyone. It does not matter where you are at in your life. It's inspirational because it will tell you the powerful, timeless recipes that the mothers have told us that we will be able to remember, you know, like, wow, this is fantastic, and this is something that I can pass along to someone else. And let's put it this way, it's not necessarily just to your biological kids, but to anyone that's younger than you, that you can help them with your wisdom, so to speak, your living wisdom, so to speak. It's spiritual because to understand motherly love is to understand God's love. Memoir, of course, is a story that, you know, everyone can relate to, their relationship with their parents, the various funny, fun, serious times, and yet heartfelt moments in the family. That's just wonderful, that sometimes when we're growing up, we just take it for granted. From a parenting perspective, it's a wealth of wisdom for good parenting skills with regards to effective communication with your children. It's not what you say, it's how you say that matters. That's very, very important. Motivational, it draws the very best out of you. It empowers you to be the best as a mother, as a woman, as a son or a daughter, the various roles that you realize now that each of us actually a teacher, a coach, and a counselor to somebody else. It's just a matter of whether we want to, how we look at things. And then, of course, self-help, because it will transform you from within with the knowledge that you now realize that all this while you have this knowledge within yourself. Don't go just out there seeking something. You have something of value from within you to make a positive difference within your life, And then in the course of doing that, you can obviously touch someone else in a positive way.
Very true. Very true. Very complete. So where can people get this book?
Well, my book is available at Amazon.com as well as BarnesandNoble.com. And they are both available in paperback as well as hard copy.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yes.
So
and
they have a choice of hardcover or they can
paperback. Yes,
paperback.
They're available
in both
style. And also, by the way, my book is endorsed by the National Association of Mother Centers. I do want to mention that because that's something very unique because the parents, the association, have read that and loved it and they endorsed it.
Excellent. Fantastic. So if you're a mom or if you're a daughter or a son, this book is for you. And I believe that the type of wisdom that you're sharing is for everybody, whatever age group and wherever they come from. And especially as you're multinational, so you come from different backgrounds, you have also shared different backgrounds in there and different points of view, and I think also that is important, that it's not just looked at with one certain goal in mind, but you have shared from a lot of different people their wisdom and their ideas of, yeah, what love is and what life is. So that's
very
great.
Much so, because motherly love is unconditional love, it's God's love. And it transcends all cultures, and that's the beauty of it. And that's why, you know, when I sat down and then I realized that, you know, wow, you know, like one of my Italian foster mom told me once, it's very interesting. She said, you know, we have helped so many children in our life and families and so forth, and their moms have always resented me. And yet your mom is not like that. And I said, no, because she is so thankful the fact that you guys are in my life,
mm-hmm.
You know, looking out for me, because she would have done the same thing for another person who maybe perhaps was living in Malaysia, because she realized the, you know, she feels it as a mother, I guess, for the lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that is still, you know, it's not quite the thing that you see around you,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
So you have been very fortunate with your different moms.
It's true, and one thing I have to say is that, you know, in order to receive love, you got to be open to receiving love.
Very
and in
true.
Order to give love, you got to be open to give love too. It's a two-way street.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, 100%. We're getting very close to the end, unfortunately, because time always races. And how can someone get in touch with you for more information?
They can go to my website, www.frommymamaskitchen.com, and that is FrommyMamasKitchen.com. And they get all the information about me, about the book, and about all the things that we're doing with From My Mama's Kitchen, the concept that I've developed in bringing motherly love to the global center stage, so to speak, in everything that we do. Basically about the radio show, about the book. This is certainly not a one-hit wonder. We will be having more books to incorporate with it. But anything they need will be at FrommyMamasKitchen.com.
Excellent. Okay, so if you want to learn a little more about Johnny Tan, what he's up to, what he's doing, about his 9 moms, and about his book, of course, I highly recommend that you get the book. It's really exciting, it's interesting, it's inspirational, it's something that we all need, and that is unconditional love. And so many of us don't have it right now, or don't see that we have it. And like Johnny said, when we feel love, we can share love and we can receive love. So we have to come to the end now. Johnny, thank you so much for having been on the show. It was a great pleasure, and I've definitely learned quite a lot today. So thank you very much for having been here.
Thank you again for giving me this opportunity.
You are most welcome. It was really, really interesting. Thank you.
Thank you.
And for everybody else, we will have a show on Thursday. That is 2 days from today, same time, same place. and we will talk about my book, To Be or Not to Be, The Choice is Yours. Because life is always about choices. So make sure that you make the right choice in your life. I wish you a wonderful day, a wonderful life. Be well, and I speak to you soon.